Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us today on the journey. We are in part three of a little series on Fridays in the month of October where we're exploring life lessons from Job, such a powerful book in the Old Testament of your Bible. And so in part one of this series, we talked about not if, but when bad things happen. What then? What next? Last Friday, we talked about very practically and personally, how do I worship when I just don't feel like it? Roger, we want to go back to Job chapter 2, and we want to talk about building a marriage, nurturing a marriage that can weather the storms.
When we think about the book of Job, of course, the subject of suffering is foremost in our thoughts. And we think about how Job suffered, all the financial things, all the things stolen from him, the loss of his children. But a lesson that's sometimes kind of stuffed behind, we don't think about, is the impact this had on his marriage, on his wife. And Job's wife only speaks two sentences this entire book. She has the fewest words, but her words are raw and her words are honest. And it leads us to the topic of, how do I help my marriage when there is a storm going about? Chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die.' She was finished. She was ready to surrender. Her faith was not the same place where Job's faith was. She was doing exactly what Satan was hoping Job would do, and that's give up on God and curse him. She was ready to throw in the towel. She was ready to go there." And so what we see, and this is so true in life, that sometimes we take this for granted, that when there's been a loss, when there's been a tragedy, when there's some suffering, that we think, well, the husband and wife are going to weather this the same. They don't weather it the same. And the suffering can lead to unpleasant words, impatient feelings, strained emotions, and it can even lead to wearing masks as we try to hide our feelings from one another. And so in this lesson, what we want to talk about today is we want to talk about how we can help our marriages during a storm. It would be wonderful if we could say, here's how you can just weatherproof your family and you'll never have a storm, but we know that's not true. And we know trials will come. And we know through the life there'll be some hard things that we face in life. And they will impact you. And it can make your marriage stronger, or it can chip away at the foundation and even destroy your marriage. And so those are some things that we need to look at here.
I think that idea of chipping away is a good way of building this word picture that we want to look at. You know, if you read Job chapter 1, of course, there are devastating things that happen financially, socially. Job loses a lot. Of course, the most devastating part of that just horrible day is when 10 children's lives are lost. And at the end of Job chapter 1, we hear Job saying, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all of this, we're told Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. It's interesting to me that at that moment, we don't hear Mrs. Job. We don't know what her name was. I'll just call her Mrs. Job. We don't have any lines, any reaction, any glimpse into her. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it begins, "Again there was a day." We don't know how long it was between chapter 1 and chapter 2, but we do know what becomes this woman's breaking point, if you will, is when Job himself is just horrifically attacked on the level of his own health. And so, yes, there's been all sorts of financial loss. Yes, there's been social damage. Yes, I mean, Job and Mrs. Job have buried 10 children. But finally, when she sees her husband now just terribly afflicted physically, that faith has been chipped away and chipped away and chipped away, and we hear her just exclaiming now, are you still going to hold on to this integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? She didn't get there overnight. It didn't, you know, she didn't just wake up in a bad mood or having just a bad day out of the blue. This was a process, but she has hit absolute rock bottom. And wisdom, Roger, you know just as sure as I do, looks ahead. Okay, I can't keep storms from coming, but how can I proactively build relationships in my own home so that they're strong when the storms come?
And, you know, when we stand before the preacher and we say our vows in sickness and in health, poverty or riches, those aren't choices. You know, a person doesn't say, well, I'll take the health, I'll take the riches, but I'm going to leave off the other two. They come together, and much of us have gone through that together. And so as we think about this, the impact was not just on Job, but it was on Job's wife as well. And that's what happens to us when those things come upon us. And so what we do sometimes is we try to hide these. We try to hide our feelings. We hide our feelings, you know, behind masks we wear. We may smile when we really shouldn't be smiling. We avoid people. We deny wanting to talk about things. And all that leads to is more suffering, suffering alone. And it leads us to being jealous of others. And it leads us to just not really being able to be open with one another. And so, we cannot keep the storms from coming. But what we can do, as Jesus talked about in that wonderful passage of the wise man and foolish man, is we can build a foundation, not just individually and personally, but through a marriage. We can build that foundation that together we're going to weather this, and together we'll get through this, and together the Lord will be with us. And those are some of the things that we need to see and appreciate. You know, the death of a parent, the death of a child, the devastating news of a disease that's very deep and long and lasting. Those are things that can just get wearisome upon people and in the marriage. And those that have faith, they do well. Those that don't, just like Jesus says, that storm causes that house to collapse.
All right. So there is some very honest communication is a big understatement in Job chapter 2. We've heard what Mrs. Job says. Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. We haven't noticed Job's response yet in Job chapter 2 and verse 10. He said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Roger, what do you make of his response to his wife in this heartbreaking moment?
You know, first of all, his words seem harsh. But I think it was a reality check. I think he was seeing the desperation of her faith. And I think he wanted to just pull her back. You know, you get somebody about to step in the street where a car's coming, they don't notice that, you reach out and you pull them back hard. I think he's pulling her back hard. And so I think the first thing he's telling her is we got to keep focused on God. God had blessed us with all these things and all these children. God is still God. And I think that's the first and foremost, as he's trying to get her to say, you can't give up on God. You're going into the abyss when you do that. There's no hope. There's no future. There's no one to talk to. There's nothing there when you give up on God. When you give up on God, you're by yourself. And that's not a place you want to go to. And so I think the first thing he's doing is pulling her back and saying, let's remember God is. And let's keep focused upon him.
All right. So if I can't stop the storm from coming, and I'm looking to build the sort of relationships, whether it's, of course, we're talking specifically in the context of a marriage or with children, whatever it is, making sure that God is the centerpiece, the main character, the one around whom everything in my home revolves. You know, I've heard you say many times before, we can't wait to start building on the foundation until, you know, the storms begin to rage and the rain begins to fall. That certainly speaks to, okay, it's a Friday here in the fall of the year. How quickly 2021 has gone. We're going to blink a couple of times and 2022 is going to be here if the Lord wills. But now is the time, day by day, week by week, to build real relationships with God at the center.
And so that means beyond the church building. I mean, it's more than just sitting beside my mate in a pew in a church building. That's a place of that, but that's not the whole of it. So you and your mate need to be praying together. You and your mate need to be reading the Bible together. You need to be having conversations together. I think one of the reasons God gives us godly mates is that when one of us is not having a good day, the other will pull us back. The other will remind the other, hey, what do you know about? And what's interesting is sometimes when storms come about, we tend to forget everything we already knew. And all these principles and all these verses and all these truths we've heard hundreds and hundreds of times. How many sermons, how many classes have we sit through? And yeah, I know these things. But then the dark clouds come and all of a sudden I forget these things. And there can be our mate to say, remember Psalms 23. The Lord is with us. He's not forgotten us, even in the darkest of the storms. Remember Mark 4, when they're in the boat and Jesus is asleep, and they say, do you not care? Yes, he cares. And so one of the things that helps us is to have a mate that's building the faith as well. And that's the first checkpoint we need to do. We need to make sure that both of our faiths are growing, and we're feeding them, and we're talking, and we're studying, and we're growing, and we're worshiping. That's key to all of this as we think about trying to help each other.
Certainly ought to speak to, okay, I need to be careful who I marry. Is this person going to help me, support me, have the sort of heart that wants to get to heaven just like I do. Now, Roger, earlier you mentioned the idea of masks. We've got, as I said, some really honest conversation going on in Job chapter 2. If Job just acts like everything is fine when it is clearly not fine, or Mrs. Job tries to act as if everything is fine when it is obviously not fine, that's not going to help either one of them. So what is the danger? I mean, one thing to talk about this couple that lived a long time ago, what's the danger today of living with masks in our marriage, either between ourselves or, you know, maybe clearly between ourselves, everything's not okay, but to the world, we just desperately want everybody to believe we've got our act completely together.
Well, particularly in a marriage, you know, it's, and I never believe you should wear masks, but sometimes we may keep a little distance between us and others. But in a marriage where you're intimate, in the marriage where you're supposed to be one, you can't help each other if someone is not being honest. And one of the things I like about Job's wife, as cruel as her words are, and as raw as they are, she's at least honest. She doesn't say, oh, well, I'm okay, because she wasn't okay. And she'd about given up on God. She had given up on God. And so the reality is we've got to have conversations, and you got to listen. And you got to let a person be honest to take their mask off. They may say some things that's very uncomfortable to hear. They may say some things you don't want to hear. I don't think Job was glad his wife said that. I think it kind of shocked him. But he could go from there and do something about that. When we're always telling the other person what we think they want them to hear, okay, we just come home from the cemetery, just buried a parent, how you doing? Oh, I'm just fine. When you're not fine. And when you hurt alone, the pain is even worse. That leads to people doing things that they shouldn't do. You know, on your own, you think, I am on my own, even though I'm married. So I might turn to the bottle. I might turn to a bottle of pills. I might go to a lot of different places I should not go to just because I feel like if I really tell them that I'm not sure about God anymore, they're going to just blow up. Or if I just say I'm mad right now at the world, they're just not going to be able to handle that. But being that honest and being able to listen and being able to have that conversation is helpful so you can go on from there. Had Job's wife not said what she had said, Job could not have responded as he did. So that's part of this togetherness as we think about taking off masks, is being honest. And when your mate asks you, how are you doing, don't just say what you think they want to hear. Be honest.
So we can't keep the storm from coming, but we can build solid, healthy relationships before that. Of course, that has to do with marriage. It also has to do with parenting, right? Building an environment where it's okay to ask questions. Building an atmosphere. Building that trust before the storm comes so that when storms arise, let's say in the life of a teenage boy or teenage girl, they feel comfortable coming to mom and dad. Oftentimes, those sorts of big questions will come out of nowhere. Maybe, you know, you're sitting on a Saturday and you're watching college football and your mind is a million miles away. And suddenly that teenage boy comes in and he asks you a really big question about life. And in that moment, you've got a choice, right? Who is going to have your undivided attention in that moment? And who knows if you blow that teenage boy or girl off in that moment, or treat them and what's swirling around in their mind as, well, we'll talk about that another time. That's not as important right now. On my radar, who knows the chipping away that that very thing could do and the impact that it could have when a real storm arises in the future?
And I think it's important to give people some space. One of the most uncomfortable things to do, especially after a death, is to know, do you want to talk about it or do you not want to talk about it? I don't want to bring it up because if I bring it up, it may make you cry, and I don't want you to cry. But if you talk about it, then it may make me cry, and I don't want to cry. And I mean, we got this weird feeling we've never been down before. So sometimes it's just good to give them some space. I know when my father passed, I got an office at home, and there's days I just sat in there. I just sat in there. I didn't do a thing. I just sat, and my mind was going everywhere. But that was part of the healing for me. And my wife understood that, and she'd come in once in a while and say, do you need something? And I'd say, no. And she goes, do you want me to sit in here? And I'd say, no. I just needed some space. And that's part of the healing process, I think, is just understanding that. But also realize when you help your spouse, you're helping yourself and you're helping your marriage. And that's the key to this too. And so the other person should not feel like they're journeying alone. You know, that was your parent who died. You have to get through it. And, you know, my life goes on for me. No, it doesn't. You're in this together. And so you have to journey with this together and help each other. And one of the things that helps you spiritually, helps your faith, is to realize, to look back through the years. Look how God has helped you through this. Look how God has helped you through this. There was this crisis. There was this concern. There was this worry. Years and years ago, we've been to the hospital. We've had this. We've had this. And here we are today. We're on the other side of that. And we're still doing good. And we'll get through the other side of this. The Lord will help us. And sometimes we forget those stories, and we can tell personal stories to each other. Do you remember that time our child was in the hospital? Do you remember the time we lost a child? Do you remember that time when this happened and that happened? And you talk yourselves with that, and here we are. God was good to us. The church was helpful to us. This is what got us through. Now here we are at another storm, and we'll get through this because of God.
That is the essence of Job's question in Job chapter 2, right? Shall we receive good from God? Job and his wife had received a whole lot of good, enjoyed a whole lot of good days. But then he follows that up with, and shall we not receive evil. Maybe that's the last little niche here to explore before we're done in this episode. Some things are just evil, right? And for us to gloss over that, for us to act as if that doesn't happen or it shouldn't hurt or pain isn't valid, that's not a good thing. Roger, I think I've shared with you before. In fact, I know I have. Grew up as a teenager in Central Indiana. You were preaching in that general area, and the earliest thing I ever remember seeing with your name attached to it was actually a bulletin article, and it just struck me and has clearly stuck with me for a long time. You had a little article just entitled, "I Hate Cancer." And it was after your mother had passed away. And I'm not sure I had ever heard somebody talk that straightforwardly before, but you were real, you were honest, but you also clearly identified that this isn't the life that our Father intended us to have. Sin is evil, and we live in a world that is fallen, and sometimes really painful things happen. We need to be honest about that.
Yes, and you know, darkness is dark, and there are some wicked people. There's some evil people in this world as well. And there are people who rejoice when they hurt other people. That something's wrong, and it should never be, but that's what happens. This isn't heaven, and heaven's where we want to be, where all these things are put away from us. But it reminds us, again, that God is there. I mean, you go through the book of Psalms, you look at all those sad stories. You know, David's being chased by King Saul, this calamity, that calamity, but the Lord was there. The Lord was there. And so praying together, worshiping together, and this is where really having a spouse who's godly helps so much. There are days after a tragedy you don't feel like being around people. I just want to be by myself. But it's Sunday, you need to go. And sometimes you need that spouse to say, we're going to go. We need to go. And that is helpful. That's part of the healing process. And doing these things together, knowing that you don't have to walk alone, knowing that you got somebody that you can count on is going to be with you, and you got a story with them, you got a history with them. But more than that, I've got the Lord who walks with me. He knows my whole story. He knows my whole history, and he's not going to leave me.
There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, as Solomon tells us in the book of Proverbs. And of course, that can be in a variety of contexts, but that greatest friend after God Almighty ought to be right there in my home, right? In my marriage, if I am married. And that takes work, right? It takes building. It takes intentionality. It takes patience and a whole lot of grace and asking for forgiveness. But what a difference can be made if we will build those sorts of relationships before the storms come.
Absolutely. And just imagine how the story would have ended had Job's wife said what she said, and Job had been weak in faith. And he said, you know what? You're right. You're right. I'm done with God. And that would have been the end of their faith, been the end of their spiritual lives. That's the story that happens a lot of times today. And so we need to be strong. We need to be faithful. We need to remember what God has taught us and to realize when these storms come, it's time to just hunker down, hold on to each other, look heavenward, and God will get us through this.
Roger, I appreciate you joining me today. Appreciate your honesty and sharing with us today. Such a powerful topic, a sensitive topic, but a very, very important topic. We appreciate all of you listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope our time together has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Lord willing, this coming Friday, we'll have another little life lesson from Job. But in the meantime, we encourage you to always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.